glad I checked that. Okay, let's open to Romans chapter 8. And we'll begin reading in verse number 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate, conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say then to those things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, what does this imply? This whole passage that we just read, what could you take away from this and say, well, for sure, it means this.
We are completely accepted.
That's it. We are completely accepted in the Beloved, and nothing can ever come up to cloud or change that acceptance. And I think I spent some time here in verse number 29. But just to be sure, we'll review it. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate, conform to the image of His Son. What did I leave out? To be. I think I covered that. So, even in the process of sanctification, which we're in, if you're already born again, the next part of your salvation experience is sanctification. And this is the area where most Christians develop phobias. Well, what could go wrong? Well, if you read Pilgrim's Progress, and you should, you see in the life of Pilgrim, plenty of things went wrong, but he did end up in the celestial city, because it wasn't through his own effort that he went through the minefield that we find him traveling through. And so in verse number 29, the scripture does say, for him he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, conformed, already accomplished. You and I are going through the process of sanctification in time. But God is outside the time domain. He sees all things as open and accomplished before Him. Now, we don't, because we're living in the process of time. So, because of all of the things that happen to us in our journey between now and being absent from the body and present with the Lord, could cause doubts to arise in our mind. And nothing suits the enemy's purpose better than that. The enemy can't do anything to affect our salvation. He knows that. So his plan B is to stop us from being ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. To stop us from going out and further raiding his domain. We're loose cannon in his domain. And there's nothing he can do to stop us. Excuse me. He's tried every trick in the book, and we've been over this. In the early days of the church, in the days of the church at Smyrna, he tried persecution. Well, he found out that that didn't work. As a matter of fact, that was probably his greatest failure. But then after that, we get to Pergamos, where he says, well, let's amalgamate the church with the world. And of course, that sets the seeds for Thyatira, or the medieval church, what we know as the Roman Catholic Church today, and by the way, the Eastern Orthodox as well. And so that seemed to work much better, but even then, God has always had a witness in the earth, and those true witnesses were mercilessly persecuted by the medieval church. The Roman Catholics burned Christians at the stake. They called them heretics. But if anyone would dare to preach the truth of the scriptures, they were deemed a heretic because they were endangering the kingdom of Satan. And so they were burned. And by the way, the Protestants did the same thing. They were the same vicious persecutors of the truth that the Roman Catholics were. And so the truth of the matter is that the only technique that Satan has to stop us really comes back to persecution. That's what the Inquisition was all about. I mean, outside being a great racket to make the church very rich, it was also to silence the truth. Well, here we find ourselves today, where now we're in an age of secular humanism. We're in the Laodicean age. And what do we find today? Satan is doing the same thing once again that he did at the church at Pergamos. Amalgamate the church with the world. Fill the church, so-called church in parentheses, the outward organization of the church, with unsaved people who will create all sorts of problems within the church and bring worldliness into the church, and at the same time begin to inject false doctrine. The same thing that happened at Pergamos, where they had the doctrines of the Nicolaitans, which then later became the deeds of the Nicolaitans at Thyatira. And so we see that the enemy has a sort of a cycle that he goes through. And so now in the Laodicean age, we're back to the rule of the people, and it's the same thing. And so with all of this worldliness couching itself in theological terms, in the depths of Satan, Chrislam, Christians now have many opportunities to fall into the slough of despond, don't they? We still have this book. And once we understand that if we're born again, the enemy can't do anything to upset God's plan and purpose in our lives, then we're going to relax. And instead of standing on one foot and always being off balance, we'll be able to give anybody that asks us of the reason of the hope that lies within us an answer, a cogent answer. I know if Rod were here, he'd tell you that the number one thing that a salesman has to have is faith in his product. If he doesn't have faith in his product, will he be an effective salesman? Well, we're not salesmen. We're not attempting to sell anything. We're attempting to announce the good news and induce people to keep something that they can have for free. It costs God a very great price, but they can have it for free. But if Satan can keep us off balance, then what's he accomplished? He can't do anything about us, but he can sure stop us from telling our neighbors about Jesus, telling our friends about Jesus. And what else could he do? He could keep people away from this book. Because if Satan convinces somebody that something has gone wrong with their relationship with God, are they going to be really wanting to read the Bible? No. Well, all of the scripture that we just read tonight should set a believer's mind at ease. Now, before the foundation of the world, we were conformed to the image of God.